This is the Dumont Television Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Radio Dan Show with your host. It's me, Dan Delgado.
Radio Dan is not the brightest dude out there. I agree with you on that.
Himself look like Radio Dan, and they can tell you what Radio Dan's going to say the next show because they already know what Radio Dan's going to say because they know the information. They know the information what Radio Dan's going to say before he says it.
I wanted to talk to Radio Dan, but he doesn't accept phone calls. I want to complain about that, first of all. So is it a radio show he wants to have or a chat room show? Because he spends way too much time entertaining people on the chat room than he does talking on the radio.
Next question to you. Do you know Radio Dan?
Radio Dan is right.
Radio Dan, he needs to get educated.
Oh, no, no, no. It was the Radio Dan Show. It's like one of the most popular radio shows ever.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. It is time once again for the Radio Dan Show. My name is Dan Delgado, and yes, it's true, I am your host, and for the next hour, or a little bit less than that, we'll be talking about movies and television and learning how we can grow by doing such a thing. That's how this works here. And it works 5 nights a week, at least some weeks it does, most weeks it doesn't, but 5 nights a week is the goal, and that's a Sunday to Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, the show originates right here, the home of the Radio Dan Show, which happens to be Talk Radio X, as in Talk Radio Excellence. That's what the X, it doesn't really stand for anything. But if it did stand for something, I would like to think it would stand for Excellence. There you go. What would be an example of Talk Radio Excellence? Tyler Hollywood and Ed Till and Antu Burt and Jiggy Jaguar and Sir Daryl and everybody else. Basically, all of the people that I know and that I'm pals with and that I'm in cahoots with, those guys are great. Everybody else stinks. There you have it. Now, as it turns out, though, even though everybody else pretty much stinks, I should point out that some folks out there, they stink less because they broadcast my show. Aha! Recognizing the genius that it is. So we go ahead and we say hello to them just to make sure that they continue to do so. So, let's say hello to our fine friends out there. For example, All Digital Radio Network. For example, 1500 AM. That's over in... Yeah, that's in Ohio. And let's see, what else? Who are the other guys? Jeez. KJAG Radio, No Agenda Radio, DTAR Talk, Knoxville, Tennessee, and last but not least, SoFlow Radio, which is so flowing right here in beautiful South Florida. I happen to be in beautiful South Florida. I'm in Boca Raton, where it's a lovely night outside, by the way. Just absolutely lovely. It's got a little bit of a breeze out there. I was out there just a few minutes ago, and I thought, ah, what a lovely night. What a perfect night to be inside in a little room that I think is a studio broadcasting to 16 people. What a perfect night to do such a thing. It is, what is it? It is 78 degrees and mostly cloudy outside right now in West Boca. For those of you who are interested in the weather. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely night. All right, now, where was I? I was about to tell you how to get in touch with the program if you're listening live. If you're into that kind of thing. If you're into phone calls and calling up strangers and talking to somebody you've never talked to before, it might as well be me. So give me a call at 661-349-TALK. That number, again, with all numbers this time, would be 661-349-8255. Pick up that phone and dial those there digits. Get yourself on the air and have a nice anecdote to share with your friends at the water cooler tomorrow at work.
Yeah, I had not, you know, I was watching the NBA Finals, and then I said, you know what, I'm going to call this jerk was on the internet, and he was actually pretty cool.
You were on the internet?
Yeah, it was broadcast. People could hear my voice and everything.
Oh, wow, that's so cool, man. How do I do that?
Well, you call 661-349-8255.
Or what you could do is you could open up your Skype app, open it up on your laptop, your desktop, and look for the Skype ID that I happen to be using, which is Talk Radio X. That's right. Talk and radio and X are all pushed together. They are all one word. So look for it that way, por favor. Now, if you want to get in touch with me beyond that, you want to send me a little private message, you can do so. So use the Skype for that. Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, you can send little messages, right? For example, I see messages that other people were sending to other hosts that were on the air before me. Like, as soon as I sign in, there's this weird history of all these things that just pop up. So, for example, I'm going to say hello to Katie Starian, who was just chatting with Tyler Hollywood. I ain't gotten a hello yet, but I'm going to be first about this. I'm going to say, hello, Katie. I'm going to do that. I'm going to say, hello, Katie Starian. That's what I'm going to do. And you can do that as well. And if you want to type out messages to me, you don't just have to do it via a private message on Skype. No, no, no. Why not do it publicly in a chat room? And we happen to have a chat room just for such a thing. Head on over to TalkRadioX.com, make up some Looney Tooney handle, and pop yourself right on in the old chat room, and you'll be hanging out with, with Hollywood, and with Spook Central, and Antibird, and me. That's right, there are more hosts in the chat room than there are listeners tonight. Why did I leave 8 o'clock? I just don't know. But anyway, there we have it. Now, moving on to other things other than how to get in touch. Actually, you know what? I always need to tell you how to get in touch with me personally. That's right. If you wanted to email me, Dan Delgado, you would send an email to dan@talkradiox.com. Mm-hmm. dan@talkradiox.com. See, it all goes together. You see? All these things, they all have Talk Radio X in it. Makes perfect sense. I do have a Facebook. Look for the Radio Dan Show. Same thing with the Twitter. Same thing with any other social network that you may be thinking of. All right? You just go ahead and do that, my friends. And you will find me. And I don't know what's going to happen after you do that, after you find me, but that's okay. Just do it. Just make sure that you do. It's a Tuesday night. I was not here on Monday night. Monday night, my brother Joey, who's appeared on the program probably way too many times, right? He popped into town. He has already left town. And, you would think, though, someone comes to visit me. A relative comes to visit me. And all my relatives, everybody in my family, is aware of what I do at night. They all know. Hey, Dan, he does that radio thing. Hey, and then they see me. They ask me how it's going. And then I kind of demur about the whole thing. Hey, how's that? Are you still doing that radio thing? Because none of them listen to it. Now, you would think, though, that it would be exciting and interesting enough that when one of them would visit, they would be, oh, wow, can I be on the air with you? You would think that would happen. But it never does. In fact, it's the last thing any of them want to do. Oh, no, don't make me do that. Come on, really? Are you going to do that? We don't have to do that, do we? I just don't get it. Anyway, Tuesday night I should be doing some DVDs, and there's a slim chance that may happen, but I would put it at only a slim chance. It depends on how the rest of this evening goes, because in all honesty, I've got a box office report to do, I've got some other stories to do, and really, I want to have something to talk about tomorrow, and you know, I'll just fill up those DVDs. I'll just take all damn day with those DVDs next weekend. Mm-hmm. Is it already June 19th? Goodness gracious. Man. This whole freaking year. All in the rearview mirror already. Jeez. And by the way, I'm already looking at the DVD list. What a crap list this is. Good Lord. Yeah, I can't wait for that 25th anniversary edition of Newsies. I'll never understand how Newsies went from being big-time box office busto around circa 1991 or whenever the hell that thing came out, and is now some sort of, I don't know, cult favorite. Yeah, Newsies. Go for it, Newsies kids! Sing and dance about the newspaper strike, and go ahead, Robert Duvall, cash that check. Anyway, moving on. I'm sorry. So, before I do that, I should tell you some movie stuff that's going on. Some movie stuff that I find to be interesting and that I should share with you. For example, Rob Zombie, a musician and a filmmaker that, let's see, I don't listen to his music and I don't watch his movies. And I know some of you probably do at least one, if not both of those, and would say, no, you don't understand, Dan. He's very good. He's very good at both of these things. And that's fine. I would just say the things that he has made don't particularly appeal to me. I'm not a horror fan, so I'm not going to watch his hardcore versions of Halloween or Halloween 2. And I'm certainly not going to sit through House of 10,000 Corpses or The Devil's Rejects or any of that. No, thank you, Mr. Zombie. However, Rob Zombie may be onto something here. He is looking to make a movie about the wonderful sport of hockey. What? Yes! Yay! You are speaking my language, Mr. Zombie. He will write, direct, and produce a movie called Broad Street Bullies, a film about the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team that evolved from a cellar-dwelling expansion team into a team that racked up victories and penalty minutes in equal measure during the 1970s. Zombie, known for his head-banging music before transitioning into genre films like the ones I already mentioned, is making a departure with this film, sort of, because the Flyers' brutal style of play is genre-worthy and has the makings for a hockey film on the order of the 1977 sports film classic Slapshot. Well, we are back in that era. If we're talking Broad Street Bullies, we're talking about the 1970s. They did win 2 Stanley Cups back in the day. I will tell you, I don't like the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't care for that team. I don't care for that team one single bit. However, I do love the sport of hockey. So if you can give me a quality hockey film, I will most certainly gladly take it. So if he's going to go ahead and give us a quality movie that gives us a nice portrait of who the Broad Street Bullies were, who that team was at that time, and, you know, make it fun and interesting, yeah, go for it, Rob Zombie. That's what I say. Bring it on. You know, we don't... I'm trying to think. When you go to hockey movies, right... There's not a lot out there. It's not like it's baseball movies where you just, you know, there's so many. There's so many, and they're so varied in the way that they are. You know, you can have a movie like Major League. You can have a movie like Field of Dreams. You could have a movie like Pride of the Yankees. You know, I mean, it's just so many. You could have a musical like Take Me Out to the Ball Game. You know, just so much. When it comes to the sport of baseball, it's a national pastime. It makes perfect sense that there's a bunch of baseball movies. I don't have an issue with this, by the way. I don't want you to think that I do. I certainly do not. I certainly like a good baseball movie. But when it comes to hockey movies, you know, everybody falls right back on the Slapshot. Well, there's Slapshot. You know, if you want, yes, there is Miracle, there is the Mighty Ducks. And while it's very easy to discount the Mighty Ducks, it did, you know, indirectly spawn a hockey team called the Ducks, called originally the Mighty Ducks, now just the Anaheim. Thank God. Thank God they moved away from what the original logo was, and just they got that Mighty out of there. Ugh, terrible. But still, so as much as I'd like to tell you, yeah, that Mighty Ducks movie, what a bunch of nonsense that junk was. However, 2 sequels and an actual hockey franchise that won a Stanley Cup. Well, it kind of, the evidence points the other way. Now, What else do we have with hockey movies? Well, yes, everybody loves Slapshot. I love Slapshot, too. So that's fine. What else is there? Youngblood? Does anybody really want to watch? You only want to watch Youngblood if you want to watch 80s cheese, right? I don't think you want to watch it if you're looking for accurate, you know, hockey action or anything, really. It's a pretty cheeseball movie and a pretty cheeseball story. Although, when I was a kid, when I saw that movie and I was, you know, 12 years old or so, oh, was I riveted. Oh, please. Please give me that. I don't know that Newsies is being, just to address the chat room, the idea that only because Christian Bale in the movie there is an absolute cult that loves Newsies. It's also being done on Broadway. So I think that has partially to do with the re-release on the Blu-ray. Anyway, where was I? Talking about hockey movies. Have I run out of them? There's others. But that's just how it is with those movies, you know? I mean, there's MVP, which is, of course, Most Valuable Primate, and is about a monkey that plays hockey. A monkey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course they filmed this at Nassau Coliseum, where the New York Islanders play, my favorite team. What an embarrassment! What else is there? If anybody has any other hockey movies that I'm forgetting, Mystery Alaska. There you go. There's a hockey movie that should have been great, but turned out to be very okay and very pedestrian. But boy, oh boy, Mystery Alaska. Takes place in a small, little isolated town in Alaska. All the dudes there, they all play pond hockey. And now, here come the New York Rangers. Are going to come and play an exhibition game against the local yokels. And let's see what happens. Oh, my goodness gracious. I love this idea for a story. I love this idea for a movie. Go ahead, bring it on. And yeah, it turns out it's just okay. Who made that movie? Who directed Mystery Alaska? Who dropped the ball? That's what I want to know. I want someone to blame for this. That's what I want. Now I'm curious. Sorry about this, everybody. This is what happens when I just start thinking off the top of my head. You had your Burt Reynolds and your Russell Crowe and your Ron Eldard and a bunch of other dudes in there. Who made this movie? Directed by Jay Roach. Now I see. The guy who did the Austin Powers movies. And Meet the Parents and Little Fockers and stuff like that. That's who he is. Great. Thanks for ruining the great potential you had with the hockey movie, Jay Roach. By the way, if your name is Roach, how do you not change that? How do you keep that as your name? Blech, I can't think of anything worse than a roach. Roaches are the worst things, I think, on the planet. Other than, you know, pedophiles or Nazis or something like that. Then once we get to, you know, insects and things that, all right, not the ones that'll kill you, but just ones that are awful to look at and just awful in general, it's the roach. That's it. It's the roach. It's terrible. They all need to be exterminated as far as I'm concerned. I'm in favor of genocide when it comes to cockroaches, particularly palmetto bugs. We get rid of all the palmetto bugs, that'd be wonderful. But if you're going to go to Hollywood and try to make a name for yourself, and I guess, he has done so. He has directed several films. I have directed none. So, point to you, Mr. Roach. But how do you not change that name? No. It's not Jay Roach. It's, Jay Crosby. You know, you'd just come up with anything else, I would think. It's Jay Martin. Doesn't matter. You know, anything else. Just get rid of the just don't go around calling yourself Roach. Terrible name. All right, so enough of that. Enough of me just kind of meanderingly babbling about hockey movies. Instead, I will tell you about Paul Verhoeven. Ho, ho, ho. And I don't know if it's fascinating that he wants to do this controversial Jesus Christ movie, or it's more fascinating that he found someone to back it. Okay, there's a guy out there who has come up with this book about Jesus Christ, and it's got all these controversial ideas in it. Now, I want to make a movie about this. Okay, well, that's interesting enough. But who is the guy who says, yes, you know what? I will give you millions of dollars to make this. I just don't know. Okay. Now, Paul Verhoeven, if you don't know who he is a movie director, and he has directed classics like RoboCop, Total Recall, Basic Instinct, and of course, Showgirls. That's who Paul Verhoeven is. Now, he also has co-written a book called Jesus of Nazareth, and this has nothing to do with that miniseries that used to run every Easter. No, nothing at all. Instead, Jesus of Nazareth, the book, apparently discounts all of the miracles that inform the New Testament. Okay, so there's no Immaculate Conception, there's no resurrection, there's none of that. Paul Verhoeven doesn't think any of that happened. I think maybe the most controversial idea is that instead of Immaculate Conception, was that Jesus was the product of his mother being raped by a Roman soldier, which Verhoeven said was commonplace at the time, and that Jesus was a radical prophet who performed exorcisms and was convinced he would find the kingdom of heaven on earth, and did not know that he would be sentenced to death to die on the cross. Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, Verhoeven, apparently he's very passionate about this. He did all this research on Jesus to find out who the real man actually was, and that's where he comes up with all of the findings for his book. And he feels that many take Jesus' sacrifice for our sins as a free pass to misbehave because they think they don't have to take responsibility for their actions. And he feels the value of Christ's journey is the opportunity to emulate his life and the values he held dear, like forgiveness. Okay, that's fine. Verhoeven says, and I quote, "If you look at the man, it's clear you have a person who is completely innovative in the field of ethics. My own passion for Jesus came when I started to realize it's not about miracles. It's about a new set of ethics and openness towards the world, which was anathema in a Roman-dominated world. I believe he was crucified because they felt that politically he was a dangerous person whose following was getting bigger and bigger. Jesus' ideals are about the utopia of the human behavior and how we should treat each other and how we should step into the shoes of our enemy." Ah, very interesting, Paul Verhoeven. And so he's got a writer to go ahead and come up with a screenplay for Jesus of Nazareth. It's going to be Roger Avery. Roger Avery, writer and director of, you know, Killing Zoe, and co-screenwriter of Pulp Fiction. He shares that Oscar with Quentin Tarantino. Sure, why not? Go ahead, Roger Avery. You do it justice, my friend. Now, I don't really know the tone of this book, but it certainly seems like some people are going to have their feathers ruffled if they see Mary getting raped by a Roman soldier. Just be guessing, you know? Just be taking a wild guess. People are going to say, wait a minute, where's all of Jesus' superpowers? How come he's not walking on water and making bread come out of nowhere? Where's all that good stuff? Where's the rising from the dead? No, none of that happened. I don't believe in any of that. That's a bunch of nonsense. What do you mean it's a bunch of nonsense? I've been going to church for 47 years. Good luck, Paul Verhoeven. That's what I say. But, I mean, listen, if you could go ahead and make Showgirls and withstand that whole storm, yeah, I guess you're ready for this. Go right ahead, man. I got no problem there, you know? I do love, though, that he's got the guts, he's got the cojones to go down this slippery slope. Yes, I'm totally okay with it. And that there's a guy out there, a producer by the name of Chris Hanley. He has a production company called Muse Productions. They produced American Psycho, which of course will be fun. From the makers of American Psycho and RoboCop come Jesus of Nazareth. There you go. Perfect. Love it. Let's see what you got. Great times, man. Great times. Oh, yeah. All right, so look for that. I don't know when. I don't know when. Who is going to be jumping up and down to play this Jesus, by the way? Who's going to be doing that? Now, you always say that. Like, who would do such a thing? But somebody will. Someone will take that opportunity. You know, if he can find somebody out there to spend millions of dollars to fund this, well, yeah, somebody's going to take that role. Why not? Good luck. We'll see you in a year or two, maybe. We'll look for where all the picket signs are. Meanwhile, back in TV land, Arsenio Hall, he's coming back. Good news, everybody. Good news. I'd love to tell you that this is what Celebrity Apprentice has given us. It has given us the return of the Arsenio Hall show. That's what I want to tell you. However, John Nagowski, CTD president, which is the, CBS Television Distribution, right? That's who's going to be syndicating this talk show. They say, well, you know, listen. It was a nice thing for the audience to remember him by, but it wasn't a factor in our decision to do a late-night talk show with him. I have a 20-year history with the guy, says Nagoski, who oversaw Hall's previous syndicated late-night talk show at CTD, predecessor Paramount Domestic Television, blah, 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 blah. But really, you're going to tell me that? You're going to tell... Maybe that was part of your decision, right? Now, here's what I find interesting is that they've already got this set up in a number of markets, right? For example, WPIX in New York at 11 p.m. Yes, that's done deal. KTLA, yeah, in L.A. at 11 p.m. Boom, done deal. WGN Chicago, 10 p.m. Done deal. Okay. Apparently, it's been sold in 10 markets and 17... I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. In all of the top 10 markets, by the way, Miami, Fort Lauderdale is number 12 in the country, in case you're wondering. So I don't know if we're on this list or not. 17 out of the top 20 markets, representing 52% of the country. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean it's official, but it means it's pretty official. You know, something could go wrong, something may not happen, but it's looking pretty good that sometime in 2013, sometime in the fall, you know, he's going to be coming out and doing that woof woof thing that he used to do all the time, you know, where he would shake his, he'd do the circular motion with the fist. Mm-hmm. Anyway, while I'm perfectly okay with this, I was never, I liked him on Celebrity Apprentice. But I had to learn to like him, because I didn't like him when he was hosting the Arsenio Hall show, because he was such an ass kisser. All his interviews. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Oh, Billy Ray Cyrus, you're so wonderful. Mwah, mwah, mwah. You know, anybody who would come on was wonderful, and he would talk about how wonderful they are, and he would wear suits that had big shoulder pads. So, you know, it was like, I don't, this guy's not really for me. Too much ass kissy on this show. But then on Celebrity Apprentice, you see, okay, he seems like a nice guy. That's how they painted him out. He was a nice guy, and also he was a guy who could, you know, yell at people if he had to yell at somebody, which was, I'm perfectly okay with that. Go do some yelling there, Arsenio Hall. But if you're going to tell me that Celebrity Apprentice had nothing to do with this, that's just silly, man. Come on. Who had even thought of Arsenio Hall in the last 20 years? Had anybody thought about this guy? I don't think so. Arsenio Hall show, what, went off the air in 1994, I want to say? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's 1994. He goes off the air. So that's 18 years. And none of you out there really watched Martial Law or any other sitcom that he may or may not have done or wherever the hell else he was appearing. The guy was basically, you know, hiding out in whatever mansion it is that he lives in and probably doing public appearances here and there when he needed to. That's what it seemed like. And then here's Celebrity Apprentice, and it reminds everybody, hey, here's Arsenio. And then he wins, and it's so good. Here's great exposure on a major network, and everybody's going to remember who he is. So now is the perfect time to go forth with bringing his show back. And I understand that from a business standpoint. But I also understand that if you're going to sit there and tell me that that had nothing to do with it. No. It's just a coincidence. It's good that the audiences remember him for that. But, you know, it wasn't a factor in our decision. Shut up. Just stop it. You're not fooling anybody. I hate that. When they just think that you're dumb. They just think that you're an idiot. Ugh. Anyway. Yes, you were working on our City Hall show 3 years ago. And this now, all of a sudden, it got greenlit. Maybe you were working on it, but everybody else who's working on it now, you know, maybe they got turned on to it thanks to Dopey Celebrity Apprentice. I don't toss that out there like it's a major achievement in life, by the way. And the funny thing is that Arsenio, who was done in originally not by terrible ratings, but by the fact that he couldn't get his show on any networks anymore. All of the places that he was syndicated to, and not all of them, but a lot of them, ended up putting other things on. They had commitments. Well, here comes David Letterman. He's going to be on CBS. So all the CBS channels that were carrying Arsenio, and there was plenty of them that were, they dropped him. Well, we got to put Letterman there. Okay, all right. Well, that's fine and good. Then Fox decides, hey, you know what? We want to get into this late night business. And even though Arsenio is syndicated on a bunch of Fox stations, they say, that's okay. You know, that's good. That's good for you. But we want to have our guy. And our guy is Chevy Chase. So Chevy Chase comes on, and now Arsenio loses all of those networks as well. All those affiliates across the country, all those Fox ones that had him on at 11 o'clock, gone. And then, of course, Chevy Chase, he implodes right on, you know, taxiing the runway. That show goes bust in, I don't know, 14 weeks or something? Not very long. They pull the plug pretty quickly on the Chevy Chase show. However, those stations that they didn't put Arsenio back. He didn't get them back once that happened. So now he had been cut so severely, you know, it's not even worth it to do the show, losing all of these affiliates. Now, I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to defend Arsenio or tell you that he had a wonderful show and that he got screwed, but I'm just presenting you with facts and information. This is what happened. I personally, I will reiterate that I'm not a fan of his show. Hopefully, he does a better job this time around. That's what I would like to think. That this time around, Arsenio will get it right and will not kiss whoever the latter-day Billy Ray Cyrus is. He will not kiss that person's ass. Who's Billy Ray Cyrus these days? I don't even know. I'm sure there's somebody out there. There's some country crossover idiot who's, you know, running around, and I don't know. There's got to be one of those guys. And Arsenio needs to bring that guy on his show and say, yeah, you know what, thanks for playing your song, but that wasn't very good, and you should get off my show. You should totally turn it around and just be a jerk. That would be good. If Arsenio came back and he decided to be an a-hole all of the time, that would be, I'm totally in favor of that. Totally in favor of that. Okay. Let's move on to something else. I have not done the box office. Did not do that. So I guess maybe I should. I should probably go ahead and let you know exactly what's going on.
Time for this week's box office report.
How are you voting with your dollars these days? Well, we had two big movies come out and two big, two big bustos. Oh, the summertime. Some summertime. More fun, huh? Speaking of busts, how's The Dictator doing? Oh, it's number 12. Down from 9. $1.1 million. $57 million overall. It cost $65. It will not reach $65. And it needed to make more than that anyway. And it stunk. What to Expect When You're Expecting is number 11. It is down from 7. It had hung in the top 10 for really a while. I mean, this is 4 weeks. This is the fifth week. It's finally out. Now, still, it's not doing that well. $1.2 million this week, $38 million overall, and it cost $40 million. Here's a movie that probably wanted to make like 70 or 80, I would say. Sorry about that, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Better luck next time, Lionsgate. Number 10 is everybody's favorite movie, Battleship, down from 8, and so soon to be out of the top 10. $1.2 million. $62 million overall. $62 million. It cost $209. Now, has Universal come up with a write-off number for this? Because I'm looking forward to hearing what that is. Here's a movie that it just made me jealous of John Carter. That's how bad it has flopped here. $62 million. But Dan, you don't understand. Overseas, it made $235 million. Doesn't matter. It would have to make something like $400 million overseas to really make up for the lack of success that it's having here. Just so you know. This thing needs to, double its budget. It needs to double the budget. The budget was $209. Worldwide, it's less than $300. There you go. Number nine is a movie that keeps pissing me off. Number nine is Moonrise Kingdom. It is up from number 10. It keeps inching up the box office. $2.2 million, $6.8 million overall. It's been out for 4 weeks now, okay? It cost $16 million. It's made $6.8 million. So what's the deal here, Dan? The deal here is that this is one of these limited release films, and it's there. They're doing the platform release where, all right, we're going to start it with 2 to 4 theaters, and then we're going to increase that to 16 theaters, and then we're going to increase that to 50 theaters, and then in week 4, it's going to be at 178 theaters. 178. That's a lot of theaters. Now, not really. It's still a limited release at 178. But here's what bothers me. Here's what's frosting my ass, ladies and gentlemen. Of these 178 theaters, how many of them were in Florida? Oh, that's right. Zero. None of them. How is this possible? How are you going to put a movie in 178 screens and Miami doesn't even make that cut? You've got to be kidding me. Because I went and I looked up the 178, and it was in a bunch of towns that were a hell of a lot smaller than Miami. That's a bunch of crap and a bunch of nonsense. This needs to end, is what I'm trying to tell you. And speaking of things that need to end, it's going to be a call that I'm getting here with Packer. He probably was talking about Dallas, let's say. Packer!
Delgado.
Yes, sir. How can I help you, sir?
How are you, sir, this time? Good evening.
Oh, boy. I'm getting a major echo here from you.
Yeah, there's two of them.
Okay. At least it's not just me. All right. Call me back.
All right.
So that's the thing about Skype. It's a swell program, but, funky stuff happens. Next thing you know, you're in some sort of a nut job echo that's going on. I don't know. All right, so while we're waiting for Mr. Packer to call back, I know what's on his mind. He, unlike me, saw that new version of Dallas, right? And he thought it was pretty good. And it got fantastic ratings, by the way. I haven't seen it, and I don't know that I'm going to see it, All right, here he comes again. Let's see. Mr. Packer.
Mr. Delgado.
Oh, okay. I think we've got it, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. This nice, warm, hot night in Georgia. And how are you in Florida? I hope it's equally as hot.
It most certainly is, my friend. It's most certainly. It is. It's 78 with a nice light breeze outside.
Well, hang on. Let me check my handy-dandy. Where the app here?
Yeah.
It says it is in Marietta, Georgia.
Give it to me.
82.
Look at you. All right.
My God, I'm a whale.
Yeah, you win. Look at that. Nice work. Nice. Nice and hot. Go ahead.
Oh, God, yeah, I love it, man. The asphalt's melting. The bees are getting stuck in the tar. It's my kind of weather. It is.
What is on your mind tonight?
Well, I was wondering... If you had the opportunity last week to catch the season or the series re-premiere, I guess, of Dallas.
See, I had told everybody this is what you were going to ask me about.
How did you know that?
Just a little feeling. I did not. I have not seen it yet. I will have to. I should catch this on the on demand. It would. I'd be remiss if I didn't catch it. I suppose. I want to know. Tell me your thoughts on it. What'd you think?
Okay. Do you remember late last winter, early spring, I called you and I told you about it, that I hope that they're not going to, you know, get their hopes up and it come up short.
Yes, sir. I do remember. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I was pleasantly surprised, believe me.
So you're all in favor of this. This worked out well.
Oh, my God. It was 2 hours. You know what? I took a personal day from work to be home to watch it, and it was worth every minute of it.
I love someone taking a day off to watch Dallas. All right. Now, how is it in comparison to the old show? Is it just like it, or is it just, you know?
Well, yes and no. Because they have the opening theme song, the same theme song.
Okay.
They have, you know, and this is assuming that you watched the original series. They showed different pictures of a helicopter flying over the city of Dallas, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, now they did the same thing, but they have updated pictures the way it looks now.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they show a big wide picture of South Fork, which hadn't changed a bit.
Hmm.
And, yeah, it was great. I loved it. It was absolutely great.
How is Larry Hagman holding up?
Larry Hagman, I won't give it away. I won't tell you that anything. Larry Hagman.
Yes.
Is 81 years old, and God bless Larry Hagman. Once he got going,
yes.
J.R. Ewing ain't missed a trick.
Really? Okay. All right. You have peaked my
interest.
I mean,
it's great.
No kidding. All right. So, and Patrick Duffy as well.
Patrick. Yeah. He's probably what, 60, 55, 60. I mean,
he's in that range.
He's, you know, obviously Botox has been kind to him, and I would suggest he probably used his membership at the gym. But I will tell you this, but it's not really giving anything away.
Okay. Go ahead.
You remember poor old beat up alcoholic abused Sue Ellen? Remember her?
Sure.
Well, she's got more money than the law will allow her to have now.
Hmm.
And they're trying to get her to run for governor of Texas.
Governor of Sue Ellen?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
sort of God.
That's that's a political nightmare. That's what that is. That's not
good. There was a cameo by Charlene Tilton, who played Lucy Ewing.
No kidding. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you remember how short she was?
Yes.
Well, now she's as wide as she is tall. So.
Oh, really? You know, I had an opportunity.
Yeah, she did.
I talked to...
Yeah, she didn't grow up. She grew out. I mean, it's just, you know. She obviously gave Patrick Duffy her gym membership. And Steve Canale, who played Ricky Krebs, he was there. He looks the same as he always did, maybe 30 pounds heavier. Looks the same.
Hmm. No kidding.
Yeah, it
All
was
right.
good. I loved it. If they don't have it on demand this week, I'm going to go to Comcast, and I'm going to strangle somebody with my bare hands.
Okay, well, see that? I got Comcast, too, so do it for me as well, because that's where I'm going to be
looking
for.
Oh, I will, definitely. Actually, you're in line, but... But, yeah, I will.
All right.
But the thing is, you can't, because I read the article. They were in Atlanta back in June, Sue Ellen and the and J.R.'s bastard kid. And they were, you know, hyping the show. And Larry Hagman was talking about how then, back in the day, you know, they'd stay on one scene for a few minutes, and now they just kind of go back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And he said, it's hard for me to keep up. You know, I was trying to stay on pace with him, and he said it was hard. But one thing he did tell the truth about, you cannot milk, because if you go to the bathroom and go get you a peanut butter jelly sandwich, and it's not a commercial, you're in trouble.
Your peanut butter.
Okay. I'm telling you, it was worth it. Which, I mean, hell, anything worth missing a day of work for, but it was worth it. Really, I highly recommend it. I give it four out of four oil derricks. Definitely.
Wow. All right. There you go. Well, what more? What more does anyone need to tune into that? I know it was a huge
ratings deal.
So it's off to a good start as far as that goes. All right. I will have to. I don't have anything to watch during the summer. So maybe this will be my show that I watch and talk about every week. I'll give it a shot.
I'm hoping.
I'll give it a shot.
They're talking. They were talking that they were going to start with just a 10 series deal.
Yes.
I mean 10 series.
10 episodes. 10 episodes. Yeah, yeah.
If it goes, and I didn't think that, because you remember I told you, I said, what can J.R. Ewing's kid do that he hadn't done?
Right.
Oh, but I will say one thing. Junior is in for a rude awakening because he's messing with Pop. That's all I can say.
I love the fandom listening to you, Pat. It's so great to hear it come from you.
Well,
I love
me
that.
Me and Chris from Texas County.
Of course. Is that right? He's a big Dallas fan.
Yeah, we were talking Thursday on the phone about, yeah, and I can't say who, what, when, where, and why because I give it away. But you know, we were debating. It's probably not really time with Dallas.
Uh-huh.
We're debating over who did something. Was it this one or was it that one? And we're standing here. We're on the phone. No, it could have been him. It had been this one. It could have been her. It could have been that. And I was like, wait a minute. Hang on a second. 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 12, and I really didn't give as much of a damn then as I do now, but I said, I'm sitting here with my older sister watching Dallas,
uh-huh.
And she's arguing with me about who did something.
Yes.
And I said, no, it wasn't there. And I said, now, 30 years later, I'm sitting here arguing with you over the same show.
Yes, you are.
With the same people.
What has changed?
I have less hair.
There you go. More things change, more they stay the same, except for your hairline.
All right, sir.
All right, Mr. Packer, thanks for the call. Have a good night, sir.
Have a good one. See you.
I just like the idea that guy is really excited about a TV show. Like, that really is it's genuinely amusing to me. And even though I'm not really into Dallas, I was into Dynasty for a while. I will totally admit that. I was not into Dallas. I did watch it here and there. I did catch an episode of Dallas. I know who the characters are, for the most part. I know the major ones. But, now, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Sir Daryl is a big Dallas fan. And he was also telling me to watch this. You have to watch this. And I was like, I don't know that I want to. But if I have two people telling me to watch it, honestly, I think that's all that I need. I think all I need is one extra person encouraging. Okay. So with that, I'll move back to the box office. And I was complaining about how the new Wes Anderson movie, Moonrise Kingdom, which has fantastic reviews, is still not playing in South Florida. It's supposed to arrive this weekend. It should be here this Friday. $2.2 million this week. 178 screens. None of those screens are good enough to be in South Florida, though. What a bunch of nonsense. What honky jive that is. Anyway, number 8 this week, down from 6, is the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, $2.2 million, $35 million overall. And this movie, it's one of those little movies that could, because it's done $100 million worldwide. And it probably didn't cost that much. How much are you really paying for Maggie Smith? Come on! Number 7, down from 5, out of the top 5 after 7 weeks, it's The Avengers. I stopped paying attention to their box office totals. $8.9 million this week, $586 million overall. Holla. That's a lot of millions, by the way. It cost $220 to make, in case you're wondering. Let's see, what's that world? Let's see the billion. $1.4 billion now for the Avengers. $1.4 billion with a B worldwide. Jeez, that's a lot of money. That is just a ton of cash. Number 6 down from 4 is Men in Black 3 after 4 weeks. $10 million this week. $152 overall. It cost $225. Oh, foreign market, save us, says Sony. Says Columbia Pictures. Please save us. They probably will. Number 5 is Snow White and the Huntsman, down from 3, $13 million in its third week. It's done $122 so far. It cost $170. But obviously, they feel that they were already working on a sequel. They already commissioned the script for the sequel because it's made the same money foreign. So it's done $248. Okay. So when it's all said and done, it will have made enough. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It will have made enough. Now Tyler Hollywood is telling me about the new Dallas? Really? What is this all about? Come on. All right. Anyway, I have to see this. All right. Now I've got three people telling me to see the new Dallas. I will do it. I promise. Number four is good news, everybody. Good news. That's my boy, Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler's latest Lazy Fest comedy craptacular. $13 million in its debut. It cost $70. Uh-oh. Flop-ola. Holy cow, Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler, in a movie like this, generally is good for $100 million. Is usually good for $100 million. And especially a movie like this, in the summer, one of his wacky comedies. Yep, that's going to do it. Don't believe me? Lest I run down the list of Adam Sandler $100 million movies. Just go with it. Grown-ups. Bedtime Stories. You Don't Mess with the Zohan. I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Click. The Longest Yard. 51st Dates. Anger Management. Mr. Deeds. Big Daddy. The Water Boy. All of these hit over $100 million. All of those. How many of them are good? Excellent question. Anyway, the streak, though. The streak where Adam Sandler in the goofy, lazy Adam Sandler comedy, it ended with Jack and Jill last year. Only did $74 million. And it indicated that people might be tiring of this. People might be thinking, hey, you can't be this lazy and think I'm going to go toss my money at it. Ah, and I think now we see the proof with That's My Boy and its meager $15 million opening. Sorry, Sandler. Number three is Rock of Ages with Rocks Out with $14 million in its debut. It cost $75 million. Another flopola. Yes, yes, yes. Rock of Ages is pretty good. It's not great. It should be great, but it's not. But don't blame Tom Cruise, because he's really freaking good in that movie. Number two is Prometheus. It was number two last week. $20 million this week. $89 million overall. It cost $130. And your number one movie this week is Madagascar Trace, Europe's Most Wanted. $34 million for the Afro Circus. $119 million. It cost $145. Yeah. There you go. There you go. I see. Tyler is confessing he just wanted to be the third person to encourage me to watch Dallas. Fair enough. Touche, Mr. Hollywood. Touche. Well, I guess three people is kind of an overwhelming amount, isn't it? I suppose so. You know that Paramount Pictures poster? Have you seen that one? I talked about it on the show. It's the 100th anniversary of Paramount Pictures, and they came up with this really cool poster that had a number of the movies that they had made over their 100 years represented in different icons. Now, it didn't just come out and say what everything was. You had to look at it and think about it. And say, oh, yes, okay, I see. That's Scrooged. And I can tell because it's a hat, and it's a top hat, and it's got a mistletoe on the top hat, and it says underneath 1988. So I can deduce that that movie is Scrooged, you see? Well, I've been looking to see where I can buy such a poster and hang it up in my room here, in my little studio room here. However, such a thing is not for sale, as apparently it was a special limited edition thing for employees and special beautiful people only. So therefore, you and I do not get to buy such a poster. There you go. And also, this means that I am running out of time. I will not get to tell you about how how there's a graphic novel featuring maybe Harry Potter as the Antichrist. We will discuss this tomorrow. Instead, what I'm going to do is thank you all for tuning in to the Radio Dan Show and encourage you and let you know that, yes, I will be back on the air tomorrow, and tomorrow we will probably do DVDs and Harry Potter being the Antichrist. And I will tell you that right now the Heat are leading 79-75 in the NBA Finals at the end of three quarters. But for most of you who will hear this, that game will already be over. Stick around, because coming up next here at Tuck Radio X is an exciting replay of the Stephanie and Greg show. Mm-hmm. With that, I will be back again tomorrow with Say Goodnight, Dan Delgado. Goodnight, Dan Delgado. Oh, and don't forget.
Yamma, 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 yamma. Whoopee-doo, Scooby-Doo, and gobbledygook.